Good morning. Nice to worship with you on a foggy morning. Thankfully, the word of our Lord is not foggy, but is definitely clear in the message it has for us on this Epiphany Celebration Sunday. Have you been in a situation in which you wish that the mercy rule would have been applied, either as a participant or as a fan? For example, one basketball team is up by 20 points as the fourth quarter starts. And so the mercy rule would say, okay, in the fourth quarter, we're not going to stop the clock like we did in the previous quarters just to end this disaster. Maybe the workload doesn't stop and you wish the mercy rule would come into play. Wishful thinking. What is not wishful thinking, however, is the fact that God has applied the mercy rule toward you and toward me. What does that look like exactly? What are the implications of that? Well, that's our focus on this Epiphany Sunday. I direct your attention to page 3 of our worship bulletin as we start with the invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship him.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Oh.
As we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, Epiphany basically meaning appearing, where Jesus appeared among us as promised and proved himself by teaching and miracles to be the one who was promised, we have a reminder of the fulfillment of the promises in the Messiah Jesus in these words from Holy Scripture, Numbers 24. Then he spoke his message, the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eyes sees clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
In our next reading, we have a clear reminder that salvation, God's salvation, is not our doing. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 11. I am talking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter, where we see evidence that God does work in mysterious ways with the goal of giving people the opportunity to come to his salvation. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Please be seated as we hear these words of Christmas grace. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace thankfully still remain ours from God our Father and given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning, turning back to these words from Romans 11. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by your epiphany, Lord, who thankfully did appear among us and gain for us our salvation, how did you get here? Not just here to worship this morning. How did you get connected to the God of the universe? To the God who has shown great love to you? Love which definitely was clearly evident in the Christmas celebration. The God who gives us hope through this life as we anticipate what's next? Well, God answers that question for us, the question of how did we get here? He answers that through his apostle. In short, he says, you have gotten to this place in your life because God himself has had mercy on us. And so through the Apostle Paul, as we reflect on that answer, how we got here, and that God has had mercy on us, he reminds us to always keep in mind our standing then with God. That standing that we have with God as a result of God's mercy comes to us in that call to faith in Jesus, the Epiphany Savior. That is remarkable when we really stop to think about it. Because what are we by nature? We are dead to God. We are in no way able to bring ourselves alive to God. Ever since the fall into sin, and really even before the fall into sin, human beings have never been deserving of God's mercy. But definitely made clearer after the fall into sin that we are not deserving of God's mercy toward us. And because of that fall into sin, all people have inherited that sinful nature. We become objects of God's wrath, dead to him. As we think about then and that sinful nature and how even for us as Christians, how that sinful nature can get the best of us too often, how many of us really should have received coal under the Christmas tree once again this year? Because how many of us really are truly deserving of the nice presents that we get? Now, for those who did receive coal, you probably deserved it. But we all deserve it, really, when we think about it. But it's only because of mercy that we don't receive coal, not just under the Christmas tree, but coal for all eternity to stoke that fire in hell. Now, there are some people, even Christians, who think that they are not spiritually dead before God and so can bring themselves alive to God, asking Jesus to come into their hearts. Or they think that through their life of self-righteousness that they can earn God's favor and that he will look favorably upon them. Not taken away from the fact that those who think they have allow Jesus to come into their life or feel that they have earned God's favor are not Christians, but not giving credit where credit is due. And so in essence, really breaking the first commandment, giving all glory to God and not truly realizing that by nature we are dead to God and not in a position to ask Him to come into our life. It's not our asking that brings Him into our life. It's God's mercy. That's a huge difference. A huge difference that impacts our life day after day. And so we are alive to God through His means of grace. The gospel and word and sacrament. Those are His tools by which He conveys His mercy toward us. And not just toward us, but toward the entire world. The fact that we have God's means of grace, His tools, the gospel and the word itself. Faith comes from hearing the message. And faith also comes through the waters of holy baptism as they are applied in the name of the triune God. Those means of grace are a gift, are a sign of God's mercy. And so the means of grace are not insignificant, whether it be the word itself or baptism and the Lord's Supper. And yet, again, how many, even within Christendom, downplay the means of grace, especially baptism and the Lord's Supper? Taking away a gift of God's mercy to us, His church, to not only get us connected, but to keep us connected to Him, not realizing that without Him and His mercy and His tools of mercy, we would not have a connection to Him. We would not have a life to look forward to. But thankfully, God has had mercy on us and continues to do so. And through His tools of mercy, brings us to faith, a faith rooted in Jesus, our Epiphany Lord. And that's why Jesus appeared among us, to show Himself to be the Messiah. But not just to show Himself to be the Messiah, but to actually carry out the work of the Messiah. And He proved that He was the one as the prophets foretold. He spoke the truth plainly. If it wasn't plain to the hearers, it wasn't because He did not speak it plainly. It was because the hearers were in a fog. And He did miracle after miracle, again, proving Himself to be the one, as the prophet said, who would give sight to the blind, allow the deaf to hear, allow the lame to walk, raise the dead? Who does that but God Himself? It's a whole point then of the Epiphany season in our church year is to be reminded how Jesus truly did appear among us in flesh. Not just at Christmas, but also grew up and lived among us for a time. And so we do have one who faced temptation of all kinds and yet remained without sin. And we need that for our own life. And His teachings continue to remain relevant to us today. And the fact that He did miracles then also shows that He can do miracles today. Many we take for granted. And so another point then of the Epiphany seed is not just to show us that Jesus dwelt among us and how He did that, but also to prepare us for why He came. The season of Lent, as He made His way to the cross. Because the cross, it's always been about the cross. So that we would not have to get coal for eternity, but rather the gift of heaven. What did He do on that cross? We know it well. He suffered and died not for His sins, but for ours. Is that something we take lightly? What He did there, hanging on the cross, forsaken by His Father, but willing to do it so that you and I would not have to suffer the pains of hell. Talk about mercy. That's what God has given to us in Jesus. That is what our faith is rooted in the mercy clearly evident in the gift of his son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and has won for us the forgiveness of sins. Again, God sacrificed his son. He does not ask us to sacrifice our sons and daughters like some religions in our world do. Clear evidence, again, that Scripture and Christianity is about mercy is the fact that it's not about what we do for God. It's about what God has done and continues to do for us. And it centers on the cross. That's why we can say with the Apostle Paul, as he says in other places of Scripture as well, that our boast is not in us, but rather our boast is in the cross of Christ. Because through the cross, we see clearly how God has had mercy on us. And how what then Jesus has won for us by way of the cross, sealed by his empty tomb. And because he lives, we too shall live. And because of God's mercy, then we have a hope of all hopes to help us get through this life, which is full of anxiety and despair and turmoil and death. But none of that can separate us from the God who appeared among us in flesh, died on the cross, and rose again. That's our Epiphany, Lord. That's God having mercy on us so that we could have a right standing with him. That's all then in keeping with his promises, as the Apostle Paul emphasizes to the Gentiles as he's writing to them. You know, he's reminding the Gentiles that the gospel was not just meant for them, it was meant for the Jews. In fact, it went to the Jews first. In Romans 1, he emphasizes that. Why he's not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. It was not just meant for the Jews, they were to be the beacons of the message of salvation to the entire world. But because of their rejection, it highlighted all the more that salvation was not just for them, but for all people. And so the Gentiles were not to take that lightly either, or to dismiss the Jews who either had, by God's grace, accepted the message of salvation, or for those who had rejected, but rather be motivated to share the gospel back with those who had it first and who rejected it. But the Jews' rejection, and even Gentiles' rejection of the gospel message, nothing new. The prophet Isaiah talked about it already too. Jesus came across rejection in his day when he was here in flesh. The Apostle Paul had people reject the message he came to bring them. You and I, as we have attempted to share the gospel message with people, has it always been accepted with great joy and eagerness? Well, sometimes our noses are bruised because the door has been slammed on our presentation of the gospel. It's not because the gospel is weak. It's because people have spurned God's invitation. But thankfully, even though people reject the gospel, even though the Jews became disobedient, Old Testament, New Testament, even though Gentiles too become disobedient, what still remains intact? God's mercy. And until the end of time, that mercy will remain intact, and through that mercy, God will continue to call people onto himself as well as bring people back onto himself. Which is good for us to keep in mind as we seek to then share the good news of God's mercy among us. As Jesus himself said, as he sent out the disciples, you know, there will come a time, unfortunately, that some people, you'll just need to shake the dust off your feet. They don't want to hear the message, but you move on. Ideally, both places that we go to and all the people we share the gospel with will take it to heart. But Jesus is realistic and knows that won't be the case. And so it does come a time when we just have to move on. pray for, but now focus our energy in a different place. But God's mercy still is there. And because of that mercy that still remains there, whether people reject it or not, we are encouraged to stay connected to His mercy. And how does He convey His mercy? Once again, through His means of grace. So important for us then to stay connected to His means of grace, which also then come with His promises. He has provided His tools, His means of grace, not again just for getting connected, but to stay connected. But how many people, again, fail to appreciate God's tools of mercy and have disconnected themselves from it? How many people have become like the Jews and other Gentiles who become arrogant in their walk with God and start thinking more about their own self-righteousness than about God's righteousness through Jesus? Or how many people are you familiar with that kind of have this thought process that once saved, always saved? So once I can make a confession for Jesus, I can live however I want because I'm locked in. And what does the Lord through Paul remind us of? No, you're not. You're not locked in because of your righteousness. You're not locked in because of your feeling. The only way you can be locked in is by God's mercy and by staying connected. What did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The importance of staying connected. And so how many people, sad to say, family members and friends on the last day are going to be before the Lord and go, Lord, we knew you. And He's going to go, what? No, you didn't. You didn't have time for me while you were alive on earth. Receive your coal forever in hell. God doesn't want that. So He allows people to live a little bit longer with the hope that they will come back. And who does He use to help invite them back? You and me. Now is the day of salvation. When Jesus comes back, it'll be too late. Thankfully, God's mercy still remains. And He continues to keep His promises, which are not just for this life, but also for the next. So how can people know what you have? And how can, by the Spirit's prompting, people want what you have? We pray that God will continue to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the various opportunities He puts before us individually and collectively to share His tools of mercy. And while you and I, we may not see immediate fruit, or we may see people fall or people reject us, let us then not be deterred from our own worship and still encouraging others to join us. Because God has had mercy on us. What, dear friends, are you going to do with it? Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the light who has appeared among us. Amen. We join in a confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 10.
Almighty, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen.
Please be seated. We do give thanks for the opportunity the Lord puts before us to open our eyes and hearts to ways we can share the gospel locally and throughout the world. And one of the ways that he does that is through our thank offerings, the gifts that he gives to us, his generosity, so that we can be generous back to him in the hope of doing the work that he's puts before us. So God be praised for his generosity among us, and thank you for God moving you to be generous in the support of his work among us. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the faith of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who were afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over Carol Johnson and Keith Smith, who are currently going through a challenging time, medically speaking. Grant answers and solutions as you will for them, so that their bodies can heal, while also strengthening them in your peace and promises, promises you keep as best for us. Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave him thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace, sins forgiven.
Praise, tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name.
He renews his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, hallelujah.
Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Kind of fitting, isn't it, though, as we sing that, the light comes in a little bit brighter. The natural light, God's light, what a gift, as all of you are a gift, too. Just Bible study taking place. We're moving into a new study for a time. We're looking at Paul's prison letters, starting with Philippians and then moving into Colossians. You can find the handout there by the bulletins, or you can also find it online. Thank offering envelopes for 2024. If you haven't picked one up yet, thank you if you have, but they're still there in the lobby. And everybody, even if you're in automatic giving and don't get the envelopes, if you could just pick up that 5x7 brown envelope and look at the information in there, we'd appreciate that. Thank you. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, first Sunday of the month, opportunity to help support the work that our ladies, all of you ladies, are really a part of that LWMS. In one way or another. So thank you for your faithful support and generous support of our missions globally. Many take place here in the United States, but also throughout the world. So you can learn more about that in the information board there in the lobby. Just see the weekly news for the things that are coming up in the month of January and beyond. There are a host of activities and events, church and school, January and February. Always something to do by God's grace until he takes us home. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.